This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Thank you, Toby. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 this evening.
We love our guys from Condori and Morod, and I accidentally just closed the page with the read on it, GP. That was a special move by me. So what I'm going to do instead is grab that piece of paper. Ha! Schools to be sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morod, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. That was unbelievable how I closed the tab with it on there somehow right before doing the read.
Tickets to Joe Coy in 1 hour and tickets to see the Wizards in 2 hours. That's at 4 and 5 respectively today. Right here on The Fan, ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4, and Barry Sfarluga talking about his conversation with Mark Lerner at 5 here on Grant and Danny. I started a new show last night, and I'm hooked. I've been trying to find a show that I could really get into because it's just a lighter week for sport.
Mm-hmm.
Shrinking on Apple TV. I really, really like this show. Now, I am only 4 episodes in. They're like... right around 35, 40-minute episodes, feels like, I think. This is a show that is created by Jason Segel and some other dudes, starring Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, and a bunch of other really talented actors and actresses that I don't recognize. It's awesome. Basically, the quick plot is that Jason Segel is a... and Harrison Ford, for that matter, are both psychiatrists. So... hence the shrinking. They are providing help to people. I guess that's the idea, is that they're shrinking, right?
Sure.
But in this movie, or in this show rather, in like the opening scenes, you just see Jason Segel being a complete wreck, like just a completely lost cause in life, who's up to no good because obviously he's dealt with tragedy. You don't know what it is yet. And then he comes into this meeting where very obviously you're now at an office where someone's about to get help. And he sits down in the chair and he's like, "Sorry, I'm late. Tell me about your week." And you're like, oh my God, he's the one doing the helping.
He's the basket case, yeah.
But it's him, and it's Harrison Ford, and his daughter's great in these first few episodes. But you know how you said you hate shows where there's no redeeming characters?
Yes.
I love all of these characters already.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's been a few episodes, and I'm rooting for everybody. It's the opposite of that. And the idea is it's this feel-good show, shades of, like, Ted Lasso, I guess. It's 2 seasons, only 22 episodes, so for your boy... that's not overly daunting.
Okay. But there's no whodunit. Are you going to be all right?
I'm not thrilled about that part.
Okay.
Hopefully there's some kind of crime we can solve at some point.
We got to solve crime.
But, Guy, I love this show.
How about it?
Shrinking.
Shrinking.
And I actually put it out on Twitter last night. I'm like, has anybody seen this? This feels like something that people should be talking about. And everyone told me about how late I am and how they were the first one to see it. But
they actually wrote the show and they invented it.
50-plus comments. I think every single one of them was positive. And maybe the worst thing I saw was one or two people saying, I don't know if I love the second season as much. But I would say out of 50-plus people that responded, 45
pretty
were
good,
like,
shooting percentage, yeah.
One of my favorite shows I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, Steph Curry from the foul line. Apparently.
I feel like I've unearthed a gem here.
Yeah. The everyone that I know that's got the Apple TVs tells me it's awesome.
It seems like Apple TV is very sneaky when it comes to some of those shows.
I think Apple TV has a high batting average.
Yeah.
Isn't Apple TV, correct me if I'm wrong, their bit is they don't do any nudity. Like, it's not overly, I don't want to say R-rated, but it's the feel-good shows are on that network. I'm sure there are other shows that do a lot of, like, this is pretty deep. There's some dark shows on there, too. But I think Apple TV is kind of a cut above some of the, like, raunchy television on other networks. Is that fair or no?
It's a great question. I mean, raunchy, I agree with you. Right? I'm trying to run through the top of my head all the different shows that I've watched. There's a few more feel-good. I mean, there's definitely, like, adult type things that aren't appropriate for kids. Like Silo is pretty tough, or Severance deals with some pretty adult concepts. But you're right in terms of like gratuitous nudity or otherwise, you're not going to find as much on Apple TV. I think you're right.
But Shrinking, man.
Shrinking.
22 episodes, so I'm barely a quarter of the way through, or not even probably. But I like where we're headed here. I'm in a good place. So I've got my TV show that I can lock in on for probably a week or two.
You won't do a locked on Shrinking.
Just a full-on pod?
Just a full-on pod, locked on Shrinking?
I might have to. If Jason Segel will come on and I get to interview him for the pilot episode.
What a career he's had, by the way.
He's the best.
Like, just twists and turns up and down. Like, started off on Freaks and Geeks and became one of the dudes that was always in the movie. You know, like anything Judd Apatow was attached to, near, adjacent to. He's, you know, gone from a sort of like goofy comedy guy to like producing his own like sort of serious stuff.
Pretty confident he wrote this.
Yeah.
In addition to directing it and starring in it. That's ultra talented.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right. So I saw on the score yesterday, they went through every single team in the AFC and they were ranking the top three priorities for each team this offseason. They went through 16 AFC teams. I think the NFC is coming up next in their series. But I thought we could steal this and do it for the Commanders here. So you and I, we could go 1, 2, and 3. Let's rank these. These are the Commanders' biggest priorities this offseason as they get ready to embark on a new offseason. So you go first with number 3.
Offensive line is maybe too broad. I'll say tackle as a vehicle to upgrade the offensive line. Now, I don't know if that's a swap out Andrew Wiley for a new right tackle. I don't know if that's you help one of the guard spots by kicking Coleman inside to get a new left tackle. I mean, to me, a new tackle solves a couple of those things as you start to kind of have the dominoes fall. But to me, that offensive line needs to be better. I don't want just okay. I want really, really good. And I think they could do that with a tweak or two.
My number 3 priority for the Commanders this offseason is to add a special, speedy weapon. I don't care what position that player plays. Ideally, running back or wide receiver, more so than tight end, because I think they've got a convoluted depth chart there anyway. But I'm every bit as okay, equal opportunity with it being an RB as a wide receiver. And I think I'm in the minority on that. But I just want speed. I want home run hitting ability. I want to add a power bat to this lineup, so to speak. I need someone who can hit the ball over the fence. If that's a wide receiver opposite McLaurin, great. If that's a running back who can, when he gets through the first line of defense, make somebody miss and go for 65 yards and a touchdown for the first time since I was 6, then let's do that. But I need a speedy, elite weapon added to this offense as my number 3 priority.
I realize I messed up. I went number 1 first, so I'm going in reverse order. I screwed this up. I didn't listen very well. That's on me. Offensive line's my number 1. My number 2...
So we're going to go...
Yeah, I'm doing 1, 2, 3. You do 3, 2, 1. Again, I messed this one up. If there's anyone to blame, it's going to be me. I screwed up. I'm sorry.
We're like a play.
Yeah.
Where the dress rehearsal doesn't matter.
Yep.
All of the...
I know.
Like, we prep for these things,
I know,
man.
I know.
There's, like, meetings and
listen,
there's conversations before shows.
I know.
There's emails that get sent.
As soon as I went out with all, I'm like, uh-oh, that's my number 1. And then you said number 3. And listen, there's a newborn at home. I'm just telling you, I'm not sleeping that great.
All right, so
I'm a little foggy in the brain. That's my number 1, was offensive line, specifically tackle.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Number 2, wide receiver. I do care if it's a wide receiver running back. I need a wideout, not to beat Carolina, not to beat Cleveland, to compete with Philadelphia. I need a difference maker. I need a guy that can exploit man coverage. I need a guy that strikes fear in the heart of defenses. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know if it's a third down war daddy, a T. Higgins type. I don't know if it's speed. I need something to take the valve, the pressure valve off of Terry McLaurin. I need somebody that is a threat. Doesn't mean you have to catch 100 balls. It does mean that defenses have to account for that player. I think that will make things easier, and that has to happen. The schedule gets tougher. The travel gets tougher. Everything gets tougher in year two as everybody's kind of honing in on you. I think they need a weapon to compete with the best teams.
So my number two biggest priority is the O-line. So we both have that on our list. I'm just putting fortify the offensive line there for me. You said you don't necessarily know how they do it, or is it that spot or this spot? And to that I say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
wrong answer for me. Yeah.
Here's what you have locked in my opinion. Right now, this moment, Tyler Biadasz at center. Because I would say Sam Cosmi at right guard, except he's coming off of a really serious knee injury and
late
may not be
in the season,
ready for week one. So if he's not ready for week one, then you could probably sign a starting right guard that you could eventually kick to left guard, and then Cosmi comes back 6-7 weeks into the season, and that's fine too. But at right tackle, you could absolutely add a new starter and cut Andrew Wiley. At right guard, you may not have Cosmi right away, so you could have a starter there early in the year that can play left guard or ultimately maybe slide out to tackle. At left guard, I like Nick Allegretti a lot. He'll be in the organization. I think he serves a nice purpose as a former Super Bowl winner with the Chiefs and one of the key cogs in the brotherhood. But Nick Allegretti at left guard does not need to be a starter. In fact, I'm not sure that he should start this coming year. You could probably do better there. And then left tackle, where I would put Brandon Coleman in pencil, maybe even pen. I'm not using Sharpie yet. If the right guy pops up and you want to play a left tackle that you just signed in free agency or acquired via trade, and now that means Coleman goes to the right side or plays guard, I'm okay with that too.
Yep.
I want to add at least two new starters to that offensive line. And if it's three, great.
Yeah, Coleman for me, I didn't mean to cut you off. Coleman for me is part of my solution. He's not an issue. He's not someone I want to replace.
He will be one of the five starters.
Exactly. I could keep him at left tackle. I could move him to left guard. I could move him to right tackle, potentially. I mean, they have to do that evaluation.
Yeah, and just so people know, because they're like, well, you guys are just acting like he can play any position. He played more guard than tackle in college.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teams thought when he got drafted, he was more of a guard. Now, Washington, to their credit, thought he could play tackle, and he was admirably decent at left tackle as a third-round pick, kind of getting thrown into the deep end. So there's a lot of reason to believe, fast forward a year or two, he could be a franchise left tackle. I mean, he showed enough that makes you think if he grows. There's also some question there as to, like, what is the ceiling, and maybe you move him elsewhere.
Precisely. So, he is one of my starters, where I think is up to them. If a right tackle shakes out, then you don't have to worry about it. If a left tackle shakes out, hey, we've already got someone. But he's not a... I have to put him at left tackle in Sharpie because I've got Trent Williams or something like that. So I think we're eye-to-eye there. My number three priority is a defensive end. I want a really solid to plus defensive end. A Hendrickson, a Garrett, a world leader would be incredible, but a massive upgrade there. With all due respect to the Cleveland Farrells, the Dorrance Armstrongs, nothing wrong with those guys, but I need more right. We're now past the, ain't nothing wrong with that, to I need a dude. So I'm on dude patrol to find me one of those guys that can really get after the quarterback, that can set the edge, that can free up things on running downs for the linebackers and guys kind of walking down to the box, and can also wreak some havoc.
So what's funny about us doing the exercise in reverse order of one another is that we actually have our lists in reverse order.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I think the number one priority for them is that defender that you just mentioned as your number three. A defender who can be Dan Quinn's chess piece, like a pass rushing presence edge who is a game defining player. I need someone on that defense that scares an offensive coordinator. I think Frankie Louvu's excellent at the second level at linebacker. Nice to have that. They don't really have that player in their secondary. I think they got a couple of decent players. Quan Martin's coming into his own. Very good. If they bring Jeremy Chinn back, I'm excited about that. They need Marshawn Lattimore to make a leap, but at times in his career, he's been outstanding at corner. Mikey Sandra still in the nickel, could eventually be a really, really good player, had a solid to plus rookie season. But on the first level of defense, when we're talking pass rushing and who you've got to account for and lining up and pointing out where's 95, where's 97, whatever the guy's going to wear, they don't have that defender. They need someone, with all apologies to my guy Dante Fowler, who had 10.5 sacks, which is a good number this past year, who could go get you 12 to 15 sacks and also wreak havoc. Like, not just get some sacks, but be great in the running game, set the edge, TFLs, pressures. That's not Dante Fowler. Fowler scooped up sacks, which was a cool thing. That was good. It was a great signing for a few million bucks.
Yep.
It was a huge win. they need an A+ where Fowler's like a B- in that role. And I would pay a lot of money or picks for it.
Yeah, that's a premium spot. I mean, again, this is my distinction that I'm offering now. It's not very scientific, but there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Dante Fowler. I'm very pro. That was awesome. What a great signing. Again, he wasn't even really a frontline guy for them. They gave him less money than Tress Way, and he had 10.5 sacks. They prioritized other guys, even over him. It was one of those, he knows Dan Quinn and maybe he could fit in the system. He had an unbelievable season, and that was awesome. He's now going to need a monster pay raise. I'm not sure if I want to give that, right? Again, nothing wrong with Dante Fowler. But this is one of those premium spots where you not only have to do better, you have to do really, really, really well. And this is a big vacancy. It's funny to think that that's all they had a handful of years ago was 4 first-round picks on that defensive line. That's how quickly the league changes, man.
I also think we have a tendency here, we lionize John Allen a little bit. We lionized Daron Payne some. One or both of those guys can come back, and that's fine. They didn't get the type of production I'm talking about out of either of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are good football players. I'm talking about a great player.
Right.
Myles Garrett's name coming up has opened my eyes to this. It's almost like you see this in movies sometimes where, like, the single person goes on a date and they get, like, reinvigorated to fall in love again or something. Or you know, someone is a widow or whatever, and they go years and years, and their friends are trying to get them back out there, and they finally, like, meet some guy, and now all of a sudden they're just, like, 25 years old again. The rumors to Myles Garrett make me want a defensive end who can go get 15 sacks more than I've ever wanted one before, because it feels like you're closer to that than you've been in a long time.
Did you remember the report a couple years ago when Chris Sale might have been up for, bad pun, but Sale? And we're sort of like, I don't need Chris Sale. And then the idea that they might get Chris Sale, it's all I could think about. I never stopped thinking about that. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if he came in? Now that this Myles Garrett thing has been dangling in front of me, I'm 100% with you. Like, you know what we really need more than anything is that world-leading defensive end.
And you keep seeing everyone ranking them the most best destination, the most likely team to do it, the team that should do it. And you're going, yeah, they're right.
Yeah.
We should do that. All right, so we have the same three categories, by the way. A edge defender, number one for me, number three for Danny. Fortifying the offensive line, I think, is number two for me.
One for me.
And then a speedy weapon, I've got third, you've got second.
Wide receiver for me is number two.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go around the horn here before we open up the phones. 800-636-1067. Toby, we'll start with you. Your biggest priority for the Commanders this offseason.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys. I don't necessarily it needs to be an edge rusher, but some sort of pass rushing threat. You saw the impact of the Super Bowl. So someone on that D-line that's going to make a big impact, even if it's from the interior, through the draft, whatever. Someone that's going to make a big impact there. I want to see improvement on the offensive line. And I'm going to go with running back. I want to see an explosive threat, because I think you saw that you can kind of get by with Jaden with subpar secondary options. I do want to improve there, but I think you can get by with secondary options that aren't maybe as good as some of the top guys, but I need someone that's a home run threat to open up that run game.
Is that your order, 1, 2, and 3, in that order?
Yes.
All right, Toby and I have the same exact order. Ryan, your biggest priority this offseason?
My top three priorities are anything on the defensive line. I think that in today's game, with all the great quarterbacks, pressure is so important, and we saw what the Eagles did in the Super Bowl, just suffocating Patrick Mahomes all 4 quarters long. So I think defensive line, anywhere on that position front, you can probably improve, because at this point, you're not looking all too great. I'm also looking at wide receiver. Help Jaden Daniels as much as you can. Get someone like a T. Higgins in the building. Trade for a Cooper Kupp, or do whatever you can to get anyone else in this building. And number three, I'm going to zag a little bit. You need a kicker. Kicker is a huge issue for the Commanders at this
Clary
point in time.
Going kicker on
like,
us.
We need a kicker. I'm tired of this carousel that we've had the last few seasons. Get someone in here that can hit at a 90% clip, and I'll be happy.
Brandon McManus could be available. So he's the only one so far to leave O-line off of his list. Mm. Darius, number one priority for the Commanders.
Number one priority is also going to be defensive line for me. I need a pass rusher that's going to make life hell for opposing quarterbacks. As we saw in the Super Bowl, how the Eagles dominated Patrick Mahomes, I want to see our team be able to do that as well. So pass rusher is number one for me. Number two for me is explosive offensive weapon. I'm going to lean more so running back than wide receiver. Just because
I get Sice for the running back love in this studio right now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just think
Danny's so Rick.
I just think we saw this year that the lack of explosiveness from the running back position.
Totally.
When you have an explosive quarterback, I just think it would have been a match made in heaven if he had somebody that matches his speed or his explosiveness out of the backfield.
Look what Saquon did for Hurts.
Absolutely.
And look at what Henry did for Jackson.
Unbelievable.
And vice versa, by the way.
Yeah.
Like just a couple 2,000-yard backs. You go O-line in there third?
No. Third, I'm gonna go with a playmaking defensive back. Whether that's at the cornerback position or safety position, I need somebody who's going to get turnovers. It's something that this team has lacked for years and years. We don't have anybody that gets multiple interceptions or more than two or three interceptions in a season. We need somebody who's going to up that number for us.
So I wanted really badly to put corner and DB on the list. It's also receiving votes for me. But O-line, weapon, and obviously my number one edge defender, we're just above it.
Sure.
But we're all kind of feeding out of a similar vein.
Yeah, you look at the roster, you see the same thing. It's just weird that Darius and Ryan both want Daniels to get hurt or something. It seems like they don't care about the quarterback at all.
That's tough.
Fighting words.
800-636-1067.
I'm not bitter about the running back thing.
Is the number. 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. What is your number one priority for the Commanders this offseason? That's the question. On Grant and Danny.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks to Toby for the update. We'll take you up to 6:30 this evening. In a half hour, we've got tickets to go see Joe Coy at Capital One Arena right at 4 ahead of the Blitz. And in 90 minutes at 5, Barry Sferluga of the Post stops by. He talked with Mark Lerner. We'll dive into that exclusive conversation he had. But when we do that, we're giving away Wizards tickets because it is a Wizards Wednesday. The question right now on Grant and Danny, what is the number one priority for the Commanders This offseason, the score, a site, was going through every AFC team and ranking their top three. We just gave you our top three. I went with a game-changing defender on the edge who can get to the quarterback as a priority number one for me. Getting the O-line sorted out, strengthened, fortified, number two. And then number three, a speedy weapon. Don't really care if it's a back or a wide receiver, but I have kind of long wanted a home run hitting running back added to the fold for Jaden Daniels.
Number one for me, O-line upgrade. I want two new starters. That includes maybe a reshuffling with Brandon Coleman, maybe staying put, maybe moving to a different spot, etc. I think an upgrade, a massive one, is needed there to go from fine to and passable to really, really good. Number two is a wide receiver. Number three is that havoc-wreaking defensive end.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number. Paul called. He's in D.C. Be like Paul and give us a shout. What's up? How are you?
Hey, gentlemen, how you all doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm gonna do what Danny did, and I'm gonna start with my third one, Danny. So you won't be by yourself with that, man. You know, my third one, I'm gonna go with the O line. The tackle, you know, like you said, narrowing it down will be a tackle. My second would agree. I want a wide receiver. And I want somebody that's gonna help out Terry. I want the Omni back, but I want another wide receiver. And my number one. And this is why I agree with you, Grant, is that now that we started talking about Myles Garrett, you know, now I just got that taste in my mouth that
right.
I want an
yep.
edge. I want somebody that's going to be wreaking that havoc. So thanks, fellas.
Paul, I'll say this. We got used to not eating something that we weren't yep. supposed to, and now we yep. just got a little sample again. Like, I haven't eaten sweets in a while. And I just ate mm-hmm. a chocolate chip cookie.
I'm
you know
craving
what tasted
it.
Really damn good? That cookie.
I was getting ready to say, and I like the way it tastes, man. So I'm yep. hey man, I'm excited about this time of the year right now, fellas.
Yeah, they got the money, third most in free agency. They got a full allotment of picks and an actual front office that does a good job using draft picks. There's no reason, Danny, not to be excited about the coming offseason.
100%. And again, this isn't just because they exceeded expectations and won 7 or 8 games and beat their Vegas over under. It's a 12-win team with a superstar quarterback. Let's go. Like, saddle up, right?
I still say if, and I know maybe people get annoyed by that, but I just think we're early enough that we could still use if. But if Jaden Daniels is what he looked like this past year, if he is an upper echelon, you know, top-notch quarterback like he played as a rookie, then you should be elated as a fan of this team going into this offseason because they're close. Because the floor now every year is 9 or 10 wins because right. you've got that guy on your roster. Let's go to Vinny and Seat Pleasant on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's going on, guys? How y'all feeling today?
Good, buddy.
Grant, I don't know if you remember, but I met you at Tyler Hill. I was the one with the Sarah Steele jersey on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Good to chat
yeah,
with you.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and go 3-2-1 like my man Danny. I'm going to start with offensive tackle. I think that we should go and grab Sanders, bring him over. I think Brandon Coleman does good on the back end, but having someone who can protect Jaden's front is definitely a need as well. I think I'm going to go with, for number two, a defensive back. Someone to come in that can be a disruptor on that back end, grab some pass breakups, grab some interceptions, you know, have those receivers feeling real scared out there. I think Denzel Burks is great too, man. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. Look him up, Ohio State. Real lengthy, real rangy.
Who is this, you said?
Back. And Denzel Burks.
Denzel Burks. I'll look him up.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Oh, Burks, singular. Okay, I got him here.
Yeah. And number one, I'm going to go with a defensive tack. I mean, defensive end. Like you said, Myles Garrett, get him here. Throw the house at him. Throw the book at him. Throw the world at him. I don't care what you do. Just get him here, man. We need somebody who can get there. To the quarterback, can force those interceptions, man. It'd be great to get those sacks. And if we do keep Dante Fowler, that is definitely a great compliment on the opposite side.
Yeah, I feel great about that because now your Batman becomes your Robin.
Yeah, it's your third pass rusher, situational. You don't have to have him in there and get knocked around on first and 10,
and
right?
He would probably start on passing downs, right? Like he'd be your number two.
You would think, yeah. I mean, but, so Dorrance Armstrong on first down,
exactly.
right?
When, although you're right. I mean, Armstrong at the end of last year, I thought rushed really well.
Mm-hmm.
He played like the guy they paid him to down the stretch last season. So you could have Armstrong opposite. Again, this is a stupid hypothetical because they're probably not trading for Myles Garrett because the Browns probably aren't trading him. We can get into that in a second. But in this perfect world, in this multiverse we're living in, Garrett opposite Armstrong with Fowler, you're standing up and moving around is kind of your Micah Parsons chess piece if you want to do it that way. Where you could honestly, it probably would move Garrett around. Like, you could have Fowler and Armstrong like they had last year, and then Miles Garrett over top the center occasionally or over top a guard.
Yeah, when I got someone that good, I'm gonna do the thing where I go, which one of you guys wants to feel this?
That's,
you know what
Dan
I mean?
Quinn's
yeah,
bit, too.
I would do that.
He did it with Micah. He's mm-hmm. done it throughout his career. So I could definitely see him doing that with a Miles Garrett. That's one of the reasons why, honestly, I really want to make the move and go get, if it's not Garrett, then another star-type player
get
like
him
that.
His Parsons, yeah.
Just get Dan Quinn someone that he can, you know, we talked about it last week, basically use as his Swiss Army knife. He's done it a little bit in the linebacking room you saw already with Frankie Louvu. He's done it a little bit in the secondary with Jeremy Chinn. They don't really have a guy like that on the D-line. It would be awesome to give him not only one more really good piece, but the piece on this defense.
Yeah, and giving him more to work with, not less, is the right way to do it. This is with any coach that's worth his bona fides. So, in other words, if you go, well, if you get Garrett, then maybe you lose Dante Fowler. If you can get Fowler back on a reasonable deal as a, you know, your rotational, situational pass rusher, which is kind of what he settled into. He and Armstrong both, quite frankly, over the last couple of years. Armstrong more of a starter this year now, more of an every down guy. But having more guys that can rush the passer is good. And you're always going to find on this show where it's like, we got five. I guess we're good. No, what about six? What if you just got a seventh person? Getting after the quarterback is the central objective of the defense to me. That, like, to boil it down to the most fundamental thing, you're going to give up some stuff here and there. The rules are set up for the offense to move the football. The rules are set up for points to be scored. The most important thing that you're going to do is to bother, harass, hit, disrupt that quarterback as often as possible.
How many sacks did Dorrance Armstrong have in the last three games last year?
Two?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
He had a sack against the Eagles in the playoff game. He had two sacks against the Lions. And he had a half sack against the Bucks.
How about that?
So just in the playoff three games, he had three and a half sacks. And in fact, in the last five games he played in, he had four and a half sacks. So he did come on pretty strong. I just don't think the Browns are going to trade Miles Garrett. Darius and I were in the kitchen like 20 minutes ago. And one of the guys who is a DJ at one of the other stations here in our cluster on the 200 level of our building was in the kitchen, and he's like, they're going to get Garrett? And I'm like, I just don't think so. He's like, they don't want him? I'm like, no, they want him. Why would the Browns trade him? I mean, unless you know internally he's not going to show up, he's going to hold out, he's going to be a gigantic pain in the butt, I'm sorry that you're not that happy. Truly, I'm going to try to make you happier. I mean this. I'm not doing a tough guy bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going anywhere. You're under contract. You're a great player. I'm keeping you. Now, if I'm the Browns and the Washington says, what if I gave you two ones and a four? Okay, maybe that changes the discussion a little bit. But guys like Miles Garrett are Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I know you hate this word, but this is actually real this time. Generational.
Well, he actually is.
Yeah, this is like a once in an era kind of guy for an organization. You don't trade that player. I just don't think they're going to deal him.
I don't either. And this is one of those where everybody's doing everything that they can. And here's what I mean. A player that is under contract, not one of those I'm coming up to the end, or I've got a void year or some sort of weird, no guaranteed money left or something like that. I can kind of agitate for something. He's very much under contract. His number's his number. Sort of that's it. There's very limited things you can do. You can ask politely. You can write a stern letter. You can then do what Miles Garrett did, which is sort of, you know, get his word out on his own in very nice terms, not running anyone down in the organization. Who knows what the backroom conversations were like. But basically say, I would like to leave. Love you, Cleveland fans. Love my teammates. But it's time for me to move on to a different chapter. No one's obligated to do anything about that. You see what I'm saying? Like that's all you can really do before you then start to kind of cost yourself. And he's in a good enough place where he'd be so much in demand that if he sat out and, you know, didn't, you know, do everything he was supposed to do, you know, maybe somebody would still try to come get him. Not even maybe, somebody would. But he's sort of pushing it as far as he can go, and the Browns have their own set of actions they can do. We are under no incentive to move on from you unless our socks are blown off. Unless this offer is so good that the best interest of the Cleveland Browns is to not have this Hall of Fame player who's still very much under contract at now a below market value as the cap has gone up. Like, for them to move on, it's going to take something ridiculous. And I don't know if that's coming.
Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I've got a who's the jerk for you. Where
I love these.
Two people, wedding related, are involved. Who's the jerk? We will play that next. We've got the Blitz at 4 when we give away the Joe Coy tickets. Berry's for Luga at 5. We're giving away Wizards tickets. Taking you up to 6:30 on Grant and Danny. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Thanks much for listening to the program. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Each and every day at this time, we give you a double play. It is brought to you by our friends over at your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. So I saw this on Barstool Sports' Twitter account, I think it was, Danny. But I thought I could bring this to the air and we could play Who's the Jerk.
Okay.
They called it Who's the Letter.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it that. I want to call it Who's the Jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So a bride got triggered by a baby crying during a no kids wedding.
Mm-hmm.
This one's fun, right? So the gist of this is, okay, that the bride, I guess, made it very clear in advance, we don't want children at our wedding. But somebody came to the wedding and brought a baby. And they did that because they had to, right? I'm going to read this. This is off TikTok. When a guest refuses to take their screaming child out of your wedding ceremony because they drove 10 hours to see it, in quotes. And then they showed the bride kind of reacting as if she's annoyed and bothered and looking over like, really? Are you doing this right now? But it's a loud baby crying during a ceremony. And then the bride shoots this terrible look and the whole thing gets thrown off because I guess she like stops the ceremony and gets upset at the family. So I ask you, Danny, they're both jerks, but who's the bigger jerk? Is it the people that had the child crying at the wedding or the bride who reacted unfavorably?
People with the child. It's 100-0. It's very specific. We said for our wedding, please no children. We love your children. We're very grateful that you've got them. We're excited to be part of their lives, but this is our special thing. We get to do this once. If you can't make it, can't find childcare, I'm sympathetic to that. Then don't come. Like the crying baby, the loud child that disrupts the thing with the video and all this other kind of stuff. Now, some people don't care. Some people don't mind it at all. And that's your proclivity. It wasn't like they got there and they said, oh, by the way, you can't have your kids. They were very clear. The clarity is the thing. You opt in and you made it, but they didn't. They opted in and said, yeah, but we're special. We're different.
They get there because it's a 10-hour drive. They don't have time to run to the hotel first to drop off the baby with the babysitter. So the baby's got to come in with them to see the ceremony.
Bummer. Pace outside. I mean, no. You ruined the thing. We didn't want it. Like, for example, if we told the DJ, and the DJ screwed us with the one dumb song that you guys remember, but...
Train.
Yeah. Hey! Nope, don't play that. Like, you ruined my night, and that's the only thing I think about, however many years later, having been married to my incredible wife, we're approaching year 15, I guess.
Hey!
That song is all I think about.
Hey!
That's the memory. So he ruined it. The person that shows up with an uninvited guest, you're ruining it. The whatever thing you said, please don't do this. We don't want the chicken dance. We don't want to do two step this time, three step this time, to the left. We don't want that. And you play that, you ruined it. Do the thing that the wedding people in the center asked for.
I could just see you doing the cha-cha slide at your wedding.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We said we don't want to do that.
Let me hear your cha-cha slide.
Cha-cha this time. Cha-cha to the right. Too hot this time.
I want you guys to renew your vows so badly just so I could be at this ceremony to see how many rules you have.
Like, the DJ's been paid, but then you walk over to the DJ also and, like, pay him, like, extra money. Like, play this.
$200 for train.
Such a troll job. But, so that's my point is it's about the couple. We're celebrating the love of the couple. We've opted in. We know these people. We care about them. There is no exception to this. It's their thing. It's the couple's thing. You are there for them.
So I do categorically agree with you that whatever you do that day, you should ask yourself, does this enhance their day or not?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to make their day better or worse by doing whatever it is? Sending that text message, asking that question, showing up 2 minutes early, 2 minutes late. I agree with you. It's all about them. It's their day. 100% I agree with you. Here is where we're going to part company, I believe, on this.
Mm-hmm.
While the worst jerk, so to speak, are the people that brought the kid that's making noise, because you can also then just take the kid out while it's making the noise and make sure, like, let's say there wasn't a no-kid policy. There should never be a situation where for a minute plus, there's just a crying, wailing child during a wedding ceremony. That should never happen. The second that a peep is made, The second thing.
You scoop and score.
First,
you scoop and score.
I
take it to the house.
I do church all the
time. Of course
time.
You do.
And my wife gets so upset. She's like, you know, let them sit here. I'm like,
no.
I'm not inconveniencing everybody else because we chose to bring these children who would be terrible at a movie to this place that is ultra.
This is for me to you.
And it's boring for a grown-up.
That's right.
What the heck do you think it's like for a two-year-old?
There you go.
Of course they're going to be upset being here. So the moment that it starts to inconvenience and annoy everyone around us, we're scooping, we're scoring.
I love
we're
it.
Out the way. We're out the 88 and out the gate.
I love it.
So yes, they're the bad guy. However, you said 100-0 and you're wrong about that.
Mm.
The bride needs to have a little bit of decorum here. I need the bride to say, am I really going to make a scene? The people that are here are either important to me or they're important to my now husband. And if they're important to my now husband, that means they're also important to me because we're in this thing together. We're a team. So I need you to grin and bear it, lady. Sorry about your luck.
Oh, man.
Sorry about your luck. But if there's a crying baby in your ceremony, it's part of your ceremony now.
You know what? Actually,
suck it up a little bit and just be a pro. I need you to be a pro and get through it.
You do make a good point. 100-0's probably not the right number. It should be like 500-0. This is so obvious. This is not a casual time. This isn't like a Wednesday. We're going to a coffee shop. She's been planning this thing for a year, and everything is stress. Everything is hard. Everything's a challenge. Probably hasn't eaten a whole food in 5 weeks to fit into the Vera Wang. Like, bro, you need to have grace, but for the bride. That's the person that deserves it.
But if
she's throwing a tantrum because someone's violating one of the ordinances, one of the rules, then yeah.
But figure this one out with me. Tell me this.
Yep.
So, again, I'm agreeing with Danny Ruye. You're right. The baby people are the problem, okay? But now we've gotten to the point where they are a problem. The baby is crying. They're not acting quickly enough. We're here now. Can we acknowledge that she can't handle it the way that she did if she actually, like, stopped the ceremony and made a scene about it to get the baby out of there? You don't get to do that. You just have to say, these people sucked today. Hopefully they're not that important to me. Maybe they are.
Maybe we'll just have a better wedding tomorrow.
No, definitely not.
It's it.
You get through it. The baby's going to cry. The priest or nowadays, you know, whoever it is, your friend.
Whoever's up there. I did it for a buddy.
English class, you know, is standing there because it's such a big event that you have some, you know, goofball who got a $24 thing online do the ceremony for you. But whatever it is, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
You just get through it, and then you regroup on the back end. And you tell your husband quietly in private, can you believe Danny's baby sat there and cried the entire time? But you can't stop the thing, and you can't make a scene.
You can, and you should.
Have a little dignity.
The dignity needs to, again,
we've covered that part.
But the cause is clear.
But we've covered
that. We just go, that guy committed a robbery, but who am I to stop him?
No, we've covered that. When you walk into the bank, Danny, and rob the bank, you're the bad guy.
Yeah, the offense has happened.
But my point is, what shouldn't then happen when the guy goes in to rob the bank and he is the bad guy is, you know, you shouldn't then, as a result, like, turn around because he's robbing the bank and rob someone of their shoes that's walking out the door while you're just standing in there.
See, to me,
you're both wrong.
You forfeit your right to dignity and decorum when you cross the line so egregiously. And that's my point. You rob the bank, you end up with a wood shampoo. Sorry, don't rob banks. It's so easy not to rob banks. I'm amazing at it. Follow me around. It's easy not to bring the baby to the wedding. And it's easy to scoop and score. It's easy to do something about it. Selfishly sitting there, stewing in your own violation, just ruining the day for somebody who's thought about this since they were kids. Yeah, she overreacted probably. You know who underreacted? Baby people. Where are my ushers?
You are the most don't bring your kids to the wedding guy ever.
100%. Don't bring them on a plane either. First airline offering kid-free flights gets my business. Done and done.
I bet you didn't have dogs at your ceremony either.
Of course not.
Dog guy.
Of course not. Again, congrats on your dog.
Well, he really shouldn't have dogs at a ceremony.
I'll tell you, my sister had her dog, and you know what my job was to walk the dog down the aisle.
Well,
true story.
The fact that you had to walk a dog down an aisle at any point makes me very happy.
Yeah. Well, it made her happy, too. That's what she wanted. Happy to do it. You know what? Even though I thought it was absurd, it's her wedding. So I just thought you shut up and you do what the bride wants.
How Rick were you to walk that dog down the aisle?
It wasn't Rick at all. It was my sister's wedding. I'll do whatever she wants.
I mean, you were a little bit annoyed.
Again, I thought it was absurd. But again.
What kind of dog?
Brown chocolate lab.
Okay.
Beautiful dog. Very, very sweet. I thought it was absurd. Not my call. That's what the bride wanted. She's my sister. It's her huge day. Where do you want me to walk him? Do you want me to pick up the droppings when he's done too? Whatever you want me to do. I had to scurry back inside and pick up some of the speeches from where the bridesmaids were getting ready. I'm just Johnny on the spot. You know why? Not my day, not my day. It's for someone else. Stop being selfish. 100% of the blame is on the violator, not the violated.
I'm going to say 90% on the violator, 10% on the reaction of the bride.
Ooh.
I'm going to give her 10%. Beltway Blitz is next. We got those Joe Coy tickets. If you want them at Capital One Arena, we'll give those away right at the top of the hour here when we return on Grant and Danny.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.